Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. Over the length of this podcast, we'll be covering the various maintenance strategies available to us, and more importantly, how to select the right one. We'll also discuss how to set the right intervals for those activities. In the last episode, we discussed how to select the right methodology to determine the maintenance strategies, and we'll dive deeper into those methodologies in a later episode. But for now, I want to talk about some of those strategies. Now, when we think about maintenance strategies, there's typically a few that we employ. There's predictive or condition-based maintenance, there's time-based or traditional preventative maintenance routines, and there's also run-to-failure, which is a valid maintenance strategy. Now, let's talk a little bit about predictive maintenance or condition-based maintenance. This type of maintenance uses various tools, technologies to take measurements and determine the condition of the equipment, which will then guide the repair or replacement work done. This is why it is on condition. This is not to be confused with traditional preventative maintenance, which does the repair or replacement work on a time-based frequency, although the predictive and condition-based maintenance inspections are done on a time-based frequency. Now, predictive maintenance and condition-based maintenance have a wide range of technologies that allow us to measure the condition of the equipment. Some of these include thermography, taking that visual image of the different heat levels of the equipment. Now, utilizing thermography, we can predict when the equipment will fail in a window of days to a few months, depending on the equipment and the operating context in which it's in. Ultrasonics is another technology that we can use. This we can pick up various frequencies that the human ear can't hear and allow us to detect if there's changes in the equipment. With ultrasonics, we can predict an equipment failure within days to months, typically, depending, once again, on operating context and the application of the equipment. Now, vibration analysis is another technology we have. This allows us to detect the slightest vibrations or changes in vibration for a piece of equipment. Utilizing vibration, we can predict when a piece of equipment will fail within weeks to months of it actually failing. Oil analysis is another great technology that we can use. This allows us several months warning of an impending failure depending upon the test being performed. Now, if we're looking at structural integrity, dye penetrant allows us to check for cracks and various other defects in the structure. Utilizing dye penetrant, we can predict a failure within days to months, once again, depending on application. Now, we also have meggers that allow us to check the condition of the insulation within motors. Depending on the application, we can predict a failure within months to years ahead of time. This type of window allows us plenty of time to make sure we get a replacement motor or corrective action in place ahead of that failure. We also have laser alignment that we can use. It will tell us if stuff's starting to drift out of alignment. We can correct it before becomes an issue. We can use endoscopes to see in areas we normally couldn't see and do visual inspections as well. These are all forms of predictive-based maintenance or condition-based maintenance technologies that are available to us. Each one has its own distinct advantages and distinct disadvantages. The technology selected should depend heavily upon the application, the skill and capabilities within the organization, and what is cost-effective. Now, there are some additional predictive or condition-based maintenance tools that we don't think of traditionally. And these are our five senses. These are some of the best and most cost-effective predictive and condition-based maintenance tools available to us. Think about it. You can see changes in equipment or an asset over time. If you see something different, oil dripping on the ground, shaving somewhere, that is predictive or condition-based maintenance. We're acting upon a repair based on what we're seeing. What about hearing? You'll hear a bearing start to go. You'll hear something start to vibrate. May not give us as much warning as some of the technologies available, but we'll be able to detect it before the failure occurs and put in a corrective action. Feeling is another one. You can feel the changes in vibration. You can feel heat. You can feel all those various things. And once again, that gives us a window, maybe only a few hours to a few days ahead of the failure, to implement a corrective action and prevent that unplanned downtime. We also have smelling. You can smell stuff burning. You can smell oil to know if it's bad or good. Once again, not as scientific as oil analysis, but it does provide us that warning. And lastly, we have tasting. Now, I typically wouldn't recommend this for most industries, but in a few industries, it is applicable. The five senses are generally underrated as a condition-based maintenance tool. They are fantastic. The operators can use them, and so can your maintenance team as they're walking around doing daily inspections. This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Another tool that we can use for predictive maintenance or condition-based maintenance is the process monitoring. We can look at pressures, flows, amp draws, pressure drops, temperature differentials on the equipment. All these are generally collected by a SCADA system, which we can use to trend and identify changes in equipment performance, which we can use to predict an equipment failure and implement that corrective action. Predictive maintenance and condition-based maintenance is extremely powerful in preventing unplanned equipment downtime, but is not the only approach we have. We also have preventative maintenance or the traditional time-based maintenance available to us. In this instance, we typically look at time-based replacements and time-based overhauls. Time-based replacements are simple. We change a filter every so many days. We change oil every so many hours, so on and so forth. Those are typical time-based maintenance. There is a time and place for those. And then time-based overhauls are where we overhaul equipment based on a number of cycles, for example. We overhaul the landing gear on an aircraft every 1,000 landings, for example. Time-based maintenance, or traditional preventative maintenance, does have its place. 11% of failures typically are a result of wear out and are age-related. In those 11% of instances, the traditional time-based maintenance is still very applicable and still very effective, but that's only for the 11%. We also have run-to-failure. Run-to-failure is a valid maintenance strategy when it's decided upon. Run-to-failure does make sense when the consequences for health and safety, environmental, and operational are non-existent. There's very minimal consequences to an equipment failing. That's when we would use run-to-failure. Run-to-failure is based on economics only. Does it cost more to maintain than it would to just repair it when it failed? If so, chances are, with no significant consequences in the other categories, run-to-failure would make the most sense. So when does it make sense to use the predictive maintenance, the traditional time-based maintenance, or the run-to-failure? Well, it depends highly upon the consequences and the nature of the failure. If the consequences are extremely high, we'll typically use predictive maintenance or time-based maintenance depending on how the equipment fails. We typically use condition-based maintenance or predictive maintenance 89% of the time when the equipment does not have a defined wear-out period. We would use time-based maintenance in the 11% of failures where it is time-related. Now, how do we select the right interval? How often should we do these activities? This is where the PF interval comes in, or the potential failure interval comes in. Potential failure interval is a time between when a potential failure can be detected and a functional failure actually occurs. Now, what is a potential failure? A potential failure is when we've detected a defect in the equipment or component that tells us this equipment is failing, but it has not yet impacted what the user requires. A functional failure is when the equipment stops doing what the user requires. For example, the pump stops running, or the pump fails to deliver the required GPM. The time between a potential and functional failure will vary greatly depending on the type of equipment, the application, so on and so forth. But we can use that to determine what intervals we should be doing our preventative maintenance or our condition-based maintenance activities. When we're looking at a condition-based maintenance activity, we typically want to take half the time of that PF interval. Although this varies with technology, that will give us plenty of time to detect a potential failure that is occurring and implement a corrective action to prevent it from reaching a functional failure point. You would want to shorten up this interval if you have extremely long lead time items that you do not stock. That way you have enough time to detect, order the parts, receive the parts, execute that work. Now, for preventative maintenance, you would typically establish a safe life minus a safety factor. Now, mean time between failure is not a safe life. What we'd want to do is we want to use a Y-bolt to determine what a life is and where stuff starts to wear out. From there, we would subtract the safe life, and now we have our defined interval for that time-based maintenance to replace or overhaul the equipment. Determining these intervals are part science, but also part art based on experience and knowledge of the process. In summary, there's three types of maintenance strategies: condition-based maintenance, time-based maintenance, and run-to-failure. The method for selecting the interval varies on the type of maintenance. Typically, condition-based maintenance is half the PF interval, and time-based maintenance is a safe life minus a safety factor. Don't use MTBF. And to find out more why not to use MTBF, visit www.nomtbf.com. That's all the time we have today. I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.